Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
And now, your main event. Introducing the hosts of Wrestling with Freddie, Jeff Dye, and Freddie Prinze Jr.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Freddie. No news guy voice for you today, and no Jeff Dye for you today. He is in New York, New York. That's the smooth sounds of Uncle Freddie. And today, we're going to talk about wrestlers turned actors. It's funny, as much as Hollywood poo-poos on wrestling, it's doing better than it ever has. They found a way to make money off it. So all of a sudden they're like, ooh, yeah, wrestling. Let's buy everything. But they've always been rough on wrestlers. And for the most part, maybe rightfully so, you could argue, because they're not always the best actors on the mic. But we're going to talk about some today who are. And we'll start with the biggest and the baddest of them all. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm going to tell you what I think about Dwayne. It doesn't matter what you think. All right. Jeez, take it easy, Rock. It's a podcast. So we're going to start with his beginning. And this one, I think he would agree with any criticism on the Scorpion King. They didn't give him much to do because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to be a leading man yet. They needed a big, buff, good-looking stud. Hello, I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yes, you are. You are now the Scorpion King. This was 2002, and he was a huge, huge wrestling star with Stone Cold, the biggest, because it was later in Hulk's career. So Stone Cold and The Rock were the biggest two, even though I like Kurt Angle more. Shh. Anyway, this movie came out, and again, he didn't have a ton to do, and what he did, he was very green, but it wasn't as far as like his personality and what he brought to the table. That role wasn't well suited for him. He just looked the part because his body was freaking perfect. The Brahma Bull. So he started to try and challenge himself after that with like the Get Shorty sequel, which I think was called Be Cool. You saw him start to kind of try to spread his wings a bit and start working with high quality actors and really get challenged. He actually did a movie with my wife, a really, really bad movie, but they did a movie together. It's like 18 hours long. It took a week to watch. It was like, there was that Brad Pitt movie, 7 years in Tibet. This was like 7 years in the theater is what they should have titled this one. But again, he was working with a bunch of very talented actors, like comic legends like John Larroquette. A lot of the SNL people were on there. I think Jay Timberlake did a cameo in the movie as well. I went to visit the set a couple of times, and you saw how hard and how much effort and energy this guy was putting into his craft. And then as he sort of evolved from that, he dipped into TV with Ballers, and with that type of a character, he could really just be himself at his utmost confident and get himself over. We can use a wrestling term in this movie conversation. And he did a great job with that. And I felt like he really found himself during that series. And mind you, he was already starting to make other movies that were more in the action vein. But I felt like he found himself on Ballers and then took that not just momentum of success, but momentum of growth, and just thrust himself into all these movies, the Walking Tall movie, the Rundown, all these flicks. I think it was called Walking Tall, the one where he's just carrying the 2x4 in the movie poster and he's just beating asses. I think he beats Billy Bob Thornton's ass at the end of that one. That's right. I've seen all the Rock's movies. What? You got something to say? Yeah, I watch just about everything, even if it sucks. Yeah, maybe I do. But I still find something I like. So yeah, man. And now to go from that to, he's probably getting close to a billionaire at this point. He's probably at like 600 to 700 million like net worth. I'll bet you he's getting close to a billion. And you know that's a goal he has. That guy has aspirations and is a driven son of a gun. But yeah, he then obviously blew up, stole the Fast and the Furious franchise from Vin Diesel. Just publicly was like, yo, man, this guy's not professional. Forget this dude. Like straight up just outed him and then got handed the franchise, became a bigger star than Vin. And then they worked out their differences. And then publicly again, he said, hey, we're all good now. We're cool. So everybody can leave Vin alone. But that's crazy to come in and just steal somebody's franchise like that. That's like that storyline in Days of Thunder when Cary Elwes, the young rookie driver, comes and is going to take Tom Cruise's character, Cole Trickle's job. That's right. I even saw that movie. Not the best, but those car scenes were awesome. So yeah, so we love The Rock. He kicked ass and he's the man. Everybody loves The Rock. So we're going to move to John Cena. And his acting career started within the WWE movie network. And I don't know if they've made a good movie because I haven't seen all of them. And this was a deal. Oh, I can tell you guys a funny story about this. I think I told it on the pod. Yeah, I told it in like season one, but we might have new listeners. The WWE thing was they had a deal with Walmart where they would release movies on DVD directly to Walmart. And it basically paid for itself. It's like a $25 million deal and they made 5 movies a year, or it was a $20 million deal and they made 4 movies a year, all of them for $5 million. And this one writer on the show was a TV writer and he said, hey, I'm not really well suited to write for these wrestlers, but I could take over your movie network and help out there. That's where my experience is, even though he'd never made a movie. He'd only been in television, but he hustled his way into the jobs. And I don't hate a hustle, but what happened next I thought was shady. So this dude started selling his own scripts to himself. Scripts that like didn't get made in Hollywood. And they started making those movies. And I was like, yo, what? That's mad dirty, man. And so Vince asked me if I watched whatever the movie was that I don't remember. I was like, no, man, I don't watch your movies. And he was like, why not? I go, they're not good, man. And he's like, well, not all yours have been good. I go, that's true. I go, but none of yours have been good. He goes, well, what do you think about the guy? And I go, well, he's selling you his own scripts, man. So, well, you know, what does that tell you? And I go, I don't think that should be going down, but it's your company. And he goes, Freddie, it was 20. There was 4 a year for 20. He goes, Freddie, it's $20 million. Now get on the goddamn plane. Then I was just like, okay, can I please have this guy's job? I wrote some dog scripts that didn't get sold. We'll make the shit out of these bad boys. What the hell, man? John Cena started in the WWE movies in a series called The Marine, which I think has been taken over by The Miz. I think Dolph Ziggler's been in a couple. They do like action movies and they've done a couple like dramas too. So that's not like, that's, well, I'll say this, that's humble beginnings, right? Because it's no money. And he's probably not even getting paid that much extra to do the movie because Vince probably counts it as all encompassing of your WWE contract. So he started with that and he actually did a good job and kind of found his wrestling character through that movie, carried it over. And it was a good way for him to take all that PG heat that he had to take from the fans that wanted an R-rated product or at least a PG-13 rated product. And everyone took a piece out of him, but that Marine character, that Marine persona sort of held him together somehow. He did a great job with it. And then you get to see the side where everyone goes, we're going to give John Cena a chance in a movie called Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. And the dude was super low-key funny in this movie. Like low-key, sneaky funny, did great with the lines. Whatever notes he got, he took them and ran with them. If he just came up with all that on his own, as far as his take on those lines, then shout out to him for that. It was way just sneaky, sneaky good. And once people saw that, then it was game over. Hollywood was going to take him. And John didn't like me when I was at WWE because I was from Hollywood and he hated Hollywood. And I never got mad at him because I always knew this day would come where Hollywood would come calling for him because he was a good actor. I always thought he should have been G.I. Joe in the G.I. Joe movies. And they did come calling. And the DC Universe got their hands on him. And now he's a Hollywood movie star. He became what he hated most. But he's done great with it. He found that Marine character, that serious version. And then he showed this complete opposite side in Trainwreck. And that demonstrated a lot of range for him to get Peacemaker, which needed both those things, right, in order to work. And I thought he did just a splendid job.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together. And that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Now we're going to get to the best of the damn bunch. And I think it's the biggest surprise to everyone. Not now, obviously, but when it happened. And that's Dave Bautista. I'm going to start by spoiling the ending. Dave's the best actor out of every wrestler that's turned actor, that's gone into movies. And you've been able to watch this growth from film to film. And it's like watching a five-year-old hit a growth spurt where you're just like, man, 2 weeks ago you were this little dude and now you're like 4 inches bigger. What the hell happened? That's every movie he does. He is significantly better each time. Every performance he's put out is superior to the last one every single time. I don't know how he's developing these tools so quickly, but he's developing these tools quickly. And I can't wait to see where it goes from here. I don't think anybody saw this coming out of WWE. And granted, the writing wasn't the best. He seemed like a lifetime wrestler. Even when he decided to leave, I don't know if everyone was like, oh yeah, this is going to work out. He's going to be a big star. And then out of nowhere, here he comes. And once this dude took off, I don't know anybody who went, oh, but it'll just be a one-time thing. I think everybody saw it once he got the opportunity. And Guardians of the Galaxy, he wasn't just the big guy. Now, granted, they gave him the opportunity to show a little bit of range as that series developed, right? But from that to Dune to the one that I love that he took a real chance on, people go, oh, The Mandalorian, that's cameo and that stuff's easy to do. Star Wars is easy. What's hard to do is a Knock at the Cabin. What's hard to do is an M. Night Shyamalan film. And he pursued this role. He actively pursued it. Yo, take a chance on me. Let me show you what I can do. And a guy like M. Night is cool like that. He likes that kind of a challenge, or I should say that kind of an opportunity is more the way he looks at it. And I'm not buddies with him, but I know of him professionally, and I think we've met like 2 or 3 times just to say hello. But I know his work ethic, and I know that that's the kind of thing he would respond to. And for Dave to put out a performance at that level this early in his career lets you know what, A, what kind of range he has, and B, the expected longevity that we should see over the next, you know, 20 years that this guy, or however long he wants to do it. I don't see him stopping. And he's lost so much weight that he only looks like a Hulk if you need him to, and he can beef up. But he's lost a lot of weight, so there's a lot more simple roles. I mean, hell, he's done a damn like buddy cop movie now, I think, with Jason Momoa. He did that movie with the kid where he's the, you know, the grizzled cop, and it's the kid who's going to soften him up, like that when Burt Reynolds tried to do it. It didn't work for either one of them, by the way. Sorry, Dave. We've all got some dogs, baby. I got some dogs in my doghouse, too. There's not an empty doghouse in Hollywood. I promise you that. But yeah, man, Dave's the man. I think he's the best out of every wrestler that's tried to do it. I will say this, if Bray Wyatt had gotten the opportunity to do films, I think he would have been special. I mentioned a couple months ago on the podcast that there was a movie I was going to do. It was a little independent movie, and the budget fell apart. There was a role for him, a big role. It was kind of like the save the day role. And he was going to actually play a carny. It was a horror movie that took place at a carnival. And he's the guy that kind of saves the day, helps me and my daughter so that we can escape, and sacrifices himself. And he was so ready for it. And he was so perfect. I knew he was perfect for it. I told the producers, I was like, just look at him and watch this one promo. I sent them a promo that he cut. And I said, you're going to fall in love with him. And they watched and they're like, oh my God, we want to make the role bigger. I was like, do it. He can handle it. Like, the guy's a creative genius in the wrestling world. And they agreed, and we were both going to do it. And like I said, the budget fell apart. It's hard with independent movies. You think independent wrestling's tough? Movies fall apart every single day in this business. It's crazy. So just a little side quest there on Bray. And then we get to the worst of the bunch. Hulk Hogan. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Your hero from the 80s that told you to take vitamins and lied about steroids and well, just about everything he's ever talked about. Jesus Christ. You guys are fans of Hulk Hogan, but that's because your moms and dads bought you the pay-per-views and you saw him win. I saw him get screwed over all the time by the bad guys, and my mom did not buy the pay-per-views, so I rooted for the bad guys in professional wrestling. But that's neither here nor there. What's important is not Rocky III, where he was actually, I'll give him that. In Rocky III, he was actually good. He just had to play a menacing, crazy guy, which was cool. But then we get to these gems known as No Holds Barred, Suburban Commando, Three Ninjas. Suburban Commando, I think that was the one with the speedboat. That was the roughest one to get through. And I go to movies wanting to find something to like. I don't go there looking to hate on these things. This was unwatchable. And I say that knowing I have dogs in my backyard. But everyone does. But they're not all dogs. You can't have all dogs and then blame other people for the movies not doing well. That was another thing. He always had like, well, the writers did this, the studio did this. No, man, Suburban Commando is not a good idea. They tried it again with Vin Diesel in the 2000s. What was that called? The Pacifier. He's a nanny, an ex-Navy SEAL. Guess how many people saw that one? Zero. So that does not count. But yeah, we're not going to spend too much time speaking about the acting career of Hulk Hogan, because there wasn't a lot of acting. They tried to surround him with charming people, but the movies just didn't work, man. It never did once. They should have put him in Harry and the Hendersons or something. He could have been a good Harry. Then they wouldn't have had to use that suit. All right, moving on.
a big old hater on Hulk Hogan, Freddie. Why he hates so much on him? I don't know. Those movies just were rough, man. They were sorry. And he was, you know, it was what he was. Now we get to my favorite. Now, I didn't say best. I've already acknowledged Dave Bautista as the best of the bunch. But my favorite of all wrestlers turned actors, and for those who see this on video or see our clips, if you look over my shoulder, you already know what movie I'm talking about and what actor I'm talking about. But Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's right, Rowdy Piper, one of my favorite wrestlers of all times, and he's in one of my favorite movies of all time, which is They Live, John Carpenter's They Live. Now, for those of you who have not seen this movie, if you claim to enjoy what I have to say in any way, then I've never made a demand in my life. I'm serious, that you watch this movie. You will love it for its poignancy, for its irreverence, for its campiness at times, whether it's intentional or not. You will love it thematically. You will love Roddy Piper's performance. You will love Keith David's performance, who's his co-star in the film, Black Dude. He was the voice of Spawn on the animated series back in the day. He's been in like a million TV shows and movies. And he was one of my dad's best friends back in the day, y'all. Side quest. My dad went to the Fame School in New York. Remember that show? Fame. I'm on a level. He went there. He dropped out because he got an opportunity to be on the Milton Berle Show, which was like a big late night talk show, and comedians could get over huge. But he was in the school play of Mice and Men with Keith David. And they were playing George and Lenny. And Keith said, one day your dad just didn't show up to school. And we knew it's because he made it. He had been telling us for the last couple of weeks. I auditioned. I think I'm going to audition at this club. He was only 17. 17? Yeah, I think 17. I auditioned at this club. And I think they're going to put me on the Milton Berle Show. He's the king of comedy. That's why my dad changed his last name to Prince, because Milton Berle was the king of comedy. He wanted to be the prince of comedy. And he just kept the Z in his last name out of respect and changed his last name to Prince. So my name is fake, people. Fake.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
But yeah, so anyway, this movie is awesome. It's about aliens. It's not, are they coming to invade? They already invaded. They already took over, and they're already running the government. And the only way you can see who the true humans are and who the aliens are through these sunglasses that have been made by the resistance that show you the true face behind the facade that they're projecting. And you can also see the truth in advertising, which is the subliminal messaging in every billboard and bus stop sign that you see, in every commercial that's on television, in every political message that you see, subliminal messaging everywhere, in every newspaper you read. What's a newspaper? Shit. Anyway, this movie's awesome. Roddy Piper is perfect in this movie. And he's so big that when they come to beat his ass, you already know, like, oh, you're done. Like, your ass is getting kicked. And it does. And I'll challenge anybody. If you want to debate this, baby, we could debate this all day. You will lose. It'll be a straight squash match. You won't let out. I'm Goldberg and your opponent number one. You know what I'm saying? That's how bad the beatdown will be. Best line in the history of cinema. It's Roddy Piper, and he's wearing the sunglasses, so he knows the truth. And these cops that were really aliens tried to take him down. Bow, bow, got the first one. What, you want some too? Watch out, you chick. Boom, shotgun right to the chest. Got them both. And now he knows. He knows the aliens are here, and he's not having it because he's a man's man. He runs into this bank. He's got the shades on. He's got the shotgun out, and he sees that some of the people in the bank are aliens, and he goes, cuts this line so much better than I ever could. He says, I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Ch-ch-ch. Blah, blah, alien on the back wall, splattered. Next alien, ba-boom skis. He's done too. You get the idea. He kicks ass and saves the entire world from an alien invasion because he's Roddy Piper. Finally, and I wish Jeff was here because this is one of his favorite movies. There's a movie called Hell Comes to Frogtown. Hell Comes to Frogtown. But it's not hell in the way you think. Hell is Roddy Piper's character, Sam Hell, one of the last men on Earth. And the theme of this movie is 70% of the men's population on the planet is dunzos, gone. And the rest of the population is basically sterile. And in order to save humanity, this guy, Sam Hill, becomes the most wanted man in the universe because he's very virile. He has to go to this town that's like under the control of these frog human people, and he has to save the women there and impregnate them so that there can be, so the human species can get back to where it needs to be. Every horned up guy in the 80s would want to play that role. Are you kidding me? This is a real movie. It actually got made, and Piper's actually really good in it because he sort of takes the piss the way you should in these types of films. He doesn't look into the camera and give you a nod and a wink the way Eddie Murphy would. But he lets you know what he thinks of the dialogue from time to time based on the way he performs it. I love Roddy Piper. I got to see him perform stand-up comedy one time, and it was awesome. Big shout out to him, and may he rest in peace. And I hope his family is proud of his contribution that he was able to make, because a lot of people love it. We're going to finish with Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? Stone Cold hasn't done a bunch of like feature films outside of the big Expendables franchise, which I haven't seen any of the Expendable movies. I love Stallone. I named my son Rocky, for crying out loud. But there's half the dialogue is them going, no. It's like an episode of Dragon Ball Z where it's just two dudes going, come, and the other guy going, and that's, you know, the episode's 22 minutes, and that was 20 minutes of the damn episode. And then finally you hear someone go, wow, you look pretty strong. Maybe we should fight. It's my Goku voice. Anyway, Stone Cold did a bunch of, the only one that I did see was the one on the island where he's the convict, and he gets thrown onto this island and he has to like fight for his freedom. Anyway, Stone Cold, he's pretty good, man. He can do his one thing, and I think he tries to stick to that and knows that. Although I'd be interested to see if he had any desire to branch out and try a drama. Maybe he doesn't, which is cool too. Listen, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I got nothing but love for you. Thanks for always tuning in. Thanks for tuning in Thursdays to Unsanctioned Thursdays as well. Make sure you check out my co-host Jeff Dye on jeffdyecomedy.com for dates. Maybe he's coming to your city to make you laugh. I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. This is Wrestling with Freddie. Peace. This has been a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Baratapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.